Hare Krishna. So this morning we will be discussing from 8th canto, chapter 3, entitled Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender, verse 27. So the verse is written on the board, kindly please follow. Yoga Randitha Karmano Hridi Yoga Vibhavite Yogino Yam Prapashyanti Yogesham Tam Nato Natosmi Aham. Yoga randhita karmano, yoga randhita karmano, hridi yoga vibhavate, hridi yoga vibhavate, yogino yam prapashyanti, yogino yam prapashyanti, Yogesham tam natosmi aham. Yogesham tam natosmi aham. Yoga randhita karmano. Hridi yoga vibhavate. Yogino yam prapashyanti. Yogesham tam natosmi aham. Yoga randhita karmano. Hridi yoga vibhavate. Yogino yam prapashyanti. Yogesham tam natosmi aham. Please recite. Vibhavate Yogino yam prapashyanti. Yoga randita karmano. Hridi yoga vibhavate. Yogesham tam natosi aham. Yoga randita karmano. Randita karmano. Hridi yoga vibhavate. Yoyam prapashyanti. Yogesham tam natosi aham. Mataon mein se koi? Word to word translation. Yoga randhita karmana. Persons whose reactions to fruitive activities have been burnt up by bhakti yoga. Hridi, within the core of the heart. Yoga vibhavite, completely purified and clean. Yogina, mystics who are competent. Yam, unto the personality of Godhead. Who? Prapashyanti, directly see. Yoga Isham, unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of all mystic yoga. Tam, unto him. Nataha, natosmi, offering obeisances. Aham, I. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Soul, the Master of all mystic yoga, who is seen in the core of the heart by perfect mystics when they are completely purified and freed from the reactions of fruitive activities by practicing bhakti yoga. So you all repeat the translation responsive. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Soul, the Master of all mystic yoga, who is seen in the core of the heart by perfect mystics. When they are completely purified and freed from the reactions of fruitive activities by practicing bhakti yoga. Purport. The king of elephants, Gajendra, simply accepted that there must be someone who has created this cosmic manifestation and has supplied its ingredients. This should be admitted by everyone, even the most determined atheists. Why then do the non-devotees and atheists do not admit this? The reason is that they are polluted by the reactions of their fruitive activities. One must be freed from all the dirt accumulated within the heart due to fruitive activities performed one after another. One must wash off this dirt by practicing bhakti yoga. Yoga randita karmanaha. As long as one is covered by material nature's modes of ignorance and passion, there is no possibility of understanding the Supreme Lord. Tada rajastamo bhava kama lobha dayascaye. When one is freed from the mode of ignorance and passion, one becomes free from the lowest qualities, kama and lobha, lust and greed. Nowadays, there are so many yoga schools to encourage people in developing their lusty desires and greed through practice of yoga. People are therefore very much fond of so-called yoga practice. The actual practice of yoga, however, is described here as authoritatively stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th chapter 13, 12th canto 13 chapter 1st verse, Dhyana vastita tad gatena manasa paschanti yam yoginaha. A yogi is one who always meditates on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in Brahma Samhita, 5th chapter 38th verse. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santah sradhaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundara achintya gunaswarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shama Sundara, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the purified devotees see in their heart of the hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. Bhakti Yoga constantly sees Shama Sundara, beautiful Lord Krishna, with his blackish bodily hue. Because the king of the elephants, Gajendra, thought himself an ordinary animal, he thought himself unfit to see the Lord. In his humility, he thought that he could not practice yoga. In other words, how can those who are animals in the bodily concept of the life, who have no purity of consciousness, practice yoga? In the present day, people have no control over their senses, who have no understanding of philosophy and who do not follow religious principles or rules and regulations are nonetheless pretending to be yogis. This is the greatest anomaly of the practice of mystic yoga. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन प्रहितं कृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो बिफोर आई स्पीक समथिंग आई वुड लाइक टू टेक ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल द डिवोटीज। ऑल्दो आई एम नॉट वेरी मच क्वालिफाइड इन स्पीकिंग श्रीमद् भागवतम but because by the mercy of devotees somehow as a service I will try to do, so please bestow your blessings so that I can speak something worthwhile. Hare Krishna. So here in the 8th canto Suta Goswami started speaking about administrations of manus, that's what we see in chapter 1. So while describing various manus, their activities and various forms which Lord took during each of the reign of Manu, Sukadev Goswami describes that in one particular reign of Manu, Lord incarnated and saved an elephant called Gajendra. So immediately Parikshit Maharaj puts the question that I would like to be interested in hearing in detail about how this Gajendra was saved, because all the list of incarnations which Sukadeva Goswami was speaking, it was a normal activity, you know, taking birth from some devotees, administrating the universe, etc. But this was little special case, you know, protecting an animal. And in all the incarnations, we don't see such an occurrence. We see that Lord incarnated as animal, externally seeing, like Matsya, Kurma and Varaha. They are all, from external vision, they are animal species. So Lord took their species, but here, a special case of Gajendra, Lord came to protect an animal. So that was a special instance, and this inclined Parikshit Maharaj to ask this question that please describe in detail. So then Sukadeva Goswami goes ahead and speaks about the whole description of where Gajendra was, what were his activities, and the Trikuta Parvat and the pond in which he entered, and finally he was caught by a crocodile. So from allegorical point of view, it resembles a life of a ordinary materialistic person who is attached to sense gratification, aham mamiti consciousness. So Gajendra was also in such consciousness. Gajendra thought that my children, my wife or my bodily strength is what is all about me. And when then crocodile suddenly caught his leg and started biting him, that is the time when he realized slowly that none of this will actually help, and he finally surrenders to the Supreme Lord. So in a regular sense, this allegory describes how a man succumbs to death sometimes suddenly. The crocodile here represents time, and when a person is caught by the influence of time and when death approaches, he cannot win over. So Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita, time in the form of time, I destroy everything in this material world. All other incarnations of Lord may not be seen to be supremely powerful. Like sometimes we see Archa Vigraha of the Lord. We may not realize its supremacy sometimes. We offer food to the Lord or we do mistakes sometimes while worshipping the deities. But the Lord will not tell us, you know, you have done a mistake in your worship. Right? But the Kala, the influence of time, everyone or all the activities in this world takes place. And it seems to be spotless and supreme. So this crocodile represents that. And another very interesting factor about the story of Gajendra is that the fight between two animals led to self-realization. Externally it appears like that. The fight between two animals led to the self-realization of Gajendra and liberation of crocodile. Both the animals got benefited from this fight. So in spirituality or in transcendental world, there is nothing like good and bad. Like somebody is dying, is generally considered inauspicious. Or fight is considered also bad thing. But when Krishna is brought into the picture, everything becomes transcendental. The fight between crocodile and Gajendra became transcendental when Krishna appeared. Of course, Gajendra offered prayers and Krishna appeared and both of them got benefited. The crocodile got liberated. And in fact, crocodile was the first one who got liberated. And then Gajendra continued his prayer for some time and then Gajendra went back to spiritual world by the mercy of Lord. So why crocodile got liberated first? Gajendra was the first one who called God. And in fact, crocodile was not even interested in calling out God or interested in liberation. Shri Shri Radha Ras Bihari Bhagwan ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitaya Bhagwan ki, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. So then why is that crocodile got liberated first? So crocodile, although its intention was to catch elephant and eat the flesh, generally animals are interested in only four activities. They have rational intelligence, they have whatever they have, their whole life is centered around four activities: eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So here crocodile is interested in eating and Gajendra is interested in defending. And in the interesting course of this action, we see that Gajendra happens to catch the feet of, crocodile happens to catch the feet of Gajendra. So we catch the feet of a person when we actually surrender to him. Right? We catch the feet of a person when we surrender to him. But crocodile's intention was not that. But then Lord was seeing, after all you caught something, but that something was my devotee's leg. That something was my devotee's leg. So pehle tumko deliver kar deta hun. So the mystery of devotional service is this, that although Gajendra offered the prayers first, crocodile got liberated. So that's how this Gajendra's episode also becomes very interesting and special. Gajendra, I mean elephant in general, is a not considered very intelligent animal. Because of, generally any animal is not considered intelligent. But there are specific species which become teachers by teaching what we should not do. So in 11th canto, when Krishna was speaking to Uddhava about various types of bhakti yoga and how one should be detached and learn this life, he speaks about an instance of a brahmana who was following ajgar vritti, a special category of devotional service where he is completely oblivious to externals.
So at one point of time, this Brahmana was approached by a king of Yadu dynasty. And this Brahmana tells various lessons which he learned from various gurus. So one of the guru of this Brahmana was elephant. Because generally elephant being in the modes of passion and ignorance, they have a great inclination for a soft touch. Especially if male elephant is attracted towards female elephant. And that becomes cause of his death. So generally to catch a male elephant is a very difficult process, because a male elephant is very strong. So they catch a female elephant, which is comparatively easy, and they tie the female elephant at a particular distance from the male elephant. And just while approaching the female elephant, there is a great ditch which is dug up and stuffed with grass. And the male elephant thinks that maybe let me go towards the female elephant and enjoy. And while walking there, he accidentally falls into that ditch. And once the elephant goes into that ditch, elephant cannot come out, being a very heavy weight body. So he is caught. So in a similar way, there are various other species which speaks about difficulties or the results of not able to control the senses. So elephant teaches the sense of touch. Similarly, firefly teaches the sense of vision. Generally a firefly sees the fire and it thinks that it is very bright and, you know, beautiful, and it wants to enter the fire, and as soon as it enters the fire, it burns himself and comes out dead from the fire. Similarly, a fish has so many insects to eat in the water pond, but when he sees a bait which is hooked in a hook, it tries to eat it, and as soon as it engulfs it, he realizes that there was a hook inside and it got stuck in between its jaws, and the fish is fished by the fisher. Similarly, a bumblebee in the evening, when it tries to suck the nectar from the lotus flower, it goes and sits on the lotus, and when the evening comes and when the lotus closes, because of the vacuum, it is not able to breathe anything, and then it dies. Although the lotus flower unfolds itself very slowly, there is lot of chance for bumblebee to escape. But because of the intoxicating smell, it just lies down there, thinks that, you know, let me enjoy for some more time, like that. And deers also become attracted by the captive sounds of horns, and then they become caught by the hunters. So in this way, you know, the Avadhut Brahmana describes what all he has learnt from various species. So here Gajendra is teaching something more. He teaches about how one should surrender to Supreme Lord in the case of emergency. In this particular verse and previous verse, Prabhupada is speaking about an emphasis of existence of Creator. The previous verse we see, Prabhupada writes that while we are preaching Krishna consciousness, sometimes common man argues that where is Krishna, where is God, show me God, only then I will believe in God, right? So they believe in the empirical process where everything they want to see and realize that it exists. So this kind of logic cannot be applied for understanding God. We saw yesterday how just by making a statement that only those things which exist, only those things which we see can exist, makes this process of education very empty. You cannot believe then anything which doesn't exist. Right? So this is a pratyaksha praman process. But then the process of understanding and knowing God is not of the process of Pratyaksha Praman. We have to see through the eyes of yoga. But then even with a simple intelligence we can understand that there is creator. So modern scientific theories are developed to somehow destroy the existence of creator. So we see in the rational way in this world, we can understand that there is some system of existence. There is seasons coming, there are different trees growing, there are people, the way of taking birth, the way of natural way of living gives us clear indication of there is existence of a maintainer who is overseeing all this process. Anything which is organized needs a organizer. But then there are theories, two specific theories which Prabhupada was very against, was the Big Bang theory and the evolutionary theory of Darwin. So Darwin's theory of evolution, if we see, it is more like the most unscientific theory, and it is sometimes can be equated to fictitious stories which we tell children so that they will sleep. When we try to tell stories to the children, we keep on telling some fictitious thing so that the boy finally goes to sleep, right? So evolutionary theory is also something like that. They tell that multicellular organisms came from single cellular organisms, and multicellular organisms combined themselves and they grow more and more, and then they became one species like cats and dogs. And when cats and dogs developed more rationality, they become bigger animals like elephants and different species. And then they tell that from them came monkeys. From polar bears, then came whales. Those polar bears who did not wanted to eat or eat that which is there on ice, they wanted to enter the waters. Slowly, slowly they opened their mouths. And they opened their mouths so big, slowly, slowly they became whales. They say that a small monkey who were very good in lifting, they slowly, slowly became chimpanzees. And those chimpanzees who were very fond of walking, they thought that these two four limbs are not very useful, and they became slowly, slowly hands. And the two rare limbs became legs. And then what happened was there was no use of tail, and the tail became slowly, slowly small. And the tail finally disappeared. And what now remains is only a bone which is called as tail bone. So they give such fictitious stories and they keep people under sleep. No God exists. Just sleep now. So why Prabhupada says that they do not believe in existence of God is that if they believe that God exists, then they have to abide by the rules of God. Then they have to follow some system which God has given. So better is first to deny the existence of God. And once you deny the existence of God, you can do all the nonsense. In the college or in a school where there are 5th and 6th class students are studying. When the teacher is there, all the students keep quiet. They follow some norm that we have to be silent. And once the teacher goes out of the class, when teacher no more exists, then what they can do? They can do all the nuisance activities. Right? Because there is no one to watch. So similarly in this world, these all atheistic theories come about so that we can do sense gratification nicely. We can break the laws of God and do unlimited sense gratification. So this is a precise demoniac quality which Krishna outlines in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, he dedicates for divine and demoniac qualities. So 16th chapter, 8th verse, he says, అసత్యం అప్రతిష్టం తే జగత్ ఆహుర్ అనీశ్వరం అపరస్పర సంభూతం కిం అన్యాత్ కామ హేతు కిం. సో దెన్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద పర్పస్? యు నో హీ సేస్ జగత్ ఆహుర్ అనీశ్వరం. కృష్ణ ఇస్ టెలింగ్ సో దేర్ ఇస్ నో కంట్రోలర్ ఆఫ్ ద గాడ్ కాల్డ్ గాడ్ ఇన్ దిస్ యూనివర్స్. దెన్ వాట్ వీ కెన్ డూ? దెన్ ద ఓన్లీ థింగ్ విచ్ కెన్ డూ ఇస్ కామ, ఎంజాయ్ సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్. దట్ ఈస్ ద గోల్ ఆఫ్ డిమోనియక్ లైఫ్. Now, the scientific theories are very expert in devising these plans. So you have some problem, and generally they think that those who are professors of religions are mythological descriptions of the fact. And they, what they do is, they explain some process which has so many fallacies. Then the problem of this system, they move it to another system. And they think that we have solved the problem altogether. Like, how the higher species evolved was a question. Then they threw out that problem that God created the higher species, and they described that higher species evolved from lower species. By that, they thought that we have proved that God doesn't exist. But then the next question comes, how the lower species came? Right? They don't give more focus. How the single multiple cellular organisms exist, that problem is not defined. Right? So by this, they try to, you know, fool the people around. Now you catch and you pin them point, saying that how the lower species evolved then? Then they again devise some new nuisance. They say that there was a cosmodial soup which was floating on earth, and suddenly a thunder appeared, and by the thundering on the cosmodial soup, somehow the life originated. Then again, what they did, again threw problem from one point to another point. You ask them question, how did the thundering happen? Then they don't have any answer. Right? So in this way, they keep on manipulating their theories and try to prove that God doesn't exist. So how this universe is existing is also a big question. Then they came up with Big Bang Theory. And what Big Bang Theory says is also very, very unscientific process. So there is infinite mass, infinite temperature, infinite density. There was a single point and that point exploded. And they want us to believe in such theory. And after the explosion, all the organized system of planets came out. That's what their theory is. Now even if we foolishly accept that theory, you ask them a question, how did that single point exploded? That they do not have answer. Right? So they keep on shifting the process. And when we say that everything originated from God, that they feel it is very unscientific. That is the poor understanding of their people. Now even after understanding how life is growing through evolutionary process and how the world has evolved through the Big Bang Theory, still a big question remains. What is the purpose of this life and what is the purpose of creation? You ask them this question, then again they throw this problem to something else. What they do? They tell that, see, somehow in the evolutionary process, the human beings have come. And as a human beings, our intelligence is very much developed, and now we have understood actually how the life is evolving and how the whole world is growing or organized. When the evolution goes on continuing and when higher species come, maybe they will be able to understand the purpose of this world. In fact, they are indirectly telling we are fools, we don't know what is the purpose. Right? So these theories are based when we deny the existence of God. And which Prabhupada very strongly says that why do then the non-devotees and atheists do not admit this, that there is a creator for this universe. And Prabhupada concludes here that the reason is that they are polluted by the reactions of fruitive activities. Not just that, they are interested in the sense gratification process. Not only just they are sinful, not only they are bound by karma, their intelligence is stunted by the reactions of karma. They are also fond of sense gratification, and that is the reason why Prabhupada says that the reason is that they are polluted by the reactions of their fruitive activities. So all these scientists, they are all have pollution in their heart. So when there is pollution in the heart, you cannot expect perfect philosophy comes out from their heart. They cannot speak the right thing. So Prabhupada recommends that one must be purified of this dirt, and that the purification process is bhakti yoga. The precise terms which Gajendra is using is yoga randhita karmanu. So by the process of yoga, ideal outcome should be the purification of heart. Yoga, from its term, the root goes for the connection. Yoga means a connection from Supreme Lord, and the purification happens because of the connection, its connection with the Supreme Lord, not an independent process. Most often, in this modern world, there is terminological deception. They do something and they call it as yoga. By doing that, it doesn't mean that is yoga, because the results of yoga are not observed in those yoga systems, right? Only they have caught up with the externals of yoga, like breathing nicely, sitting nicely, walking nicely, and doing all that kind of asanas. They call that as yoga, and definitely that is yoga, provided it is done in connection with Lord. And it is only elementary in the beginning. A person who is engaged in devotional service of the Lord, he need not do yoga to control his senses or to develop bhakti. Somebody is chanting Hare Krishna, he need not go for doing the breathing process for purification of heart. All those external processes give some stability to the mind, but that cannot be called as goal of yoga. Like there is another institute, sometimes they call their institutes also yoga institute. There was one such yoga institute even during Prabhupada times, which was led by Mishra in 22nd Avenue. So he used to follow some polluted version of Raj Yoga. Now Raj Yoga is actually the process of transcendental knowledge, hearing from Krishna. Therefore Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita, Raj Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam. So Krishna is also speaking about pure process called Raj Yoga. But then during the fight for independence, many people termed many things as Raj Yoga. There is an institute which tells that Yama, Niyama, Asana, Dhyana, Dharana, Samadhi, this is actually Raj Yoga. But this is actually Ashtanga Yoga. But they used to call that as Raj Yoga. And then they used to propagate that we are doing Raj Yoga. So that is again terminological deception for the people. Like that. So yoga has some essential qualities which you cannot separate from yoga, which then will be called as something else. So yoga here essentially should make a person's heart purified. That is the essential quality of yoga. Yoga should essentially involve the Supreme Lord, or at least Super Soul. You cannot take out the Super Soul from the process and say that we are doing yoga. And then all other processes of yoga are, so to say, external. They need not be really present in the process of yoga. So similarly, this bhakti yoga is actually the one which leads to purification of heart. So then when there is purification of heart, then we can actually see Krishna continuously. Even those devotees who are not completely pure, they may get intuition of that God exists or Krishna exists. But then it is not a continuous process of realizing God or understanding God. Here in Brahma Samhita, the process of how bhakti yoga is continuous is described. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santaha sadaiva. This sadaiva refers to a continuous process of a person seeing Krishna. Santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya guna sarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. So this process of seeing God is not an external vision. Like when we see something, like we see, say, this is table. And we say, okay, this is table, we are able to see the table. But then, the process of seeing Krishna is not an external, not just external. No, it is the seen in the heart. Like the pure devotees of the Lord are described to having seeing Krishna everywhere. So seeing Krishna everywhere is not understandable by normal process. It is a completely transcendental process. You have to come out of the process that thinking that seeing Krishna means seeing through our material eyes. With material eyes we can only see phenomenal process, and that too very incompletely. But when we have eyes of devotion, we can always see Krishna's hand, Krishna's energy, Krishna working through all these process in a very scientific way. So Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that I am the principle of all the existence, just as the thread is the principle of existence of all these pearls. So when we see a necklace, we see only the pearls, we don't see the thread. So the process of seeing thread is very, it may not be directly through eyes, but then it is very easily understood when we have devotion. So here, Gajendra is expressing his inability to practice that process of yoga. Bhakti yoga, so to say, can be classified into two classes. Like, Nectar of Devotion also speaks about many processes. There is sadhana bhakti, and within sadhana bhakti there is raganuga bhakti, and then there is bhava bhakti, and then there is prema bhakti, etc. And the most important characteristics of bhakti yoga is the grace of Lord. God gives mercy to the devotee, and by which the devotee realizes that there is God, and the process of devotional service takes place. So here Gajendra is not able to process the regular, not able to execute the regular process of devotional service, like chanting the mantras, purificatory processes, etc. Right? Animals cannot do that. It's only meant for human beings. Prabhupada also used to tell that this Krishna consciousness process is meant for human beings. Like when we preach, we don't go out and preach to dogs. Aaj dogs ka program hua. We don't say, aaj cats ka program hai. Because they cannot understand. They cannot just understand our language, but they just cannot understand that there is something else in the life which is beyond eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But in an unusual exception, God or Krishna can bestow special mercy even to those. Gajendra may be probably the first one in Bhagavatam of having described God's mercy upon an animal. Probably the first. I don't remember any other instance where Bhagavatam speaks about Lord giving mercy to any animal. But then later in other pastimes we see, especially in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, we see that even animals became devotees. So only Supreme Lord can do that. We don't see any other instance in future also that, you know, somebody preached and made animal species into devotees. There is some exception to this. There are Shamanan Pandit who used to preach to tigers. Like, you know, sometimes when meditating in Vrindavan, some tigers used to come. And Shamanan Pandit used to slap the tiger and say that chant Hare Krishna. And the tiger suddenly used to say chant Hare Krishna. Right? Leaving those exceptions, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see, when he was passing through the Jharkhand forest, tiger and deer, they used to catch hands in hand and dance and chant Hare Krishna. Like in Guru Puja, we sometimes hold hands of the devotees who are next to us and we move front and back and chant Hare Krishna. So in Jharkhand forest, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to chant Hare Krishna, seeing the ecstasy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even the animals used to become Krishna conscious. And they used to chant like all we used to do. Right? There is another instance also where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a dog was following the travel of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's group of devotees. I think Shivanand Sen was leading that. And then the dog suddenly disappeared after traveling some time. Right? Or probably the dog was actually chanting and dancing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not very sure. So such exceptions do take place to prove God's supremacy, that God can do anything. Gajendra was not very self-realized soul. Of course, he was a very great devotee in past life. But in this life, as an elephant, he did not perform any devotional service. No Mangalarti, no 16 rounds, no temples, nothing. He just led a very normal animal life. Just like all other human beings in the modern civilization live. Just eat, think about myself, think about my family, think about my land, think about the possessions I have, and everything else. But then, in a very, very, very special way, Gajendra is delivered. He just offers a simple lotus flower to Supreme Lord, and Supreme Lord appears there with all the different weapons. He came in 800 form, Ashtabhujankara, and then with his chakra he just cut off the head of the crocodile, and then Gajendra actually reformed, or what do you say, manifested his eternal Swarupa, and then he prayed to Supreme Lord. And then Supreme Lord gave him mercy and he went back to Godhead. So for us, we should see that the mercy of Lord can descend in our life when we actually fervently do the prayers. If we just mechanically come and say Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami and go back, then Lord's mercy may not come up. So in a so manifest way. But when we offer very fervent prayers, but for that also we have to be put in such situations, because sometimes helpless situation favors devotional service. So when we offer a very fervent prayer, Lord definitely comes to protect his devotees, just as he did for Pandavas, just as he did for Draupadi, just as he did for Ajamila, just as he did for so many devotees in the characters of Bhagavatam, he will also do the same thing for us. So that is the main import of the whole episode of Gajendra's story. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So if any devotee has any questions or comments, they can ask. Yeah. Mike. Just tell.
Nowadays, Prabhuji, 90% people are animal eaters.
Animal eaters.
And Krishna consciousness is a process for human beings. And whatever they eat, they want to do anything they like, they want to drink anything they want. So basically I feel, whatever you said, that this process, Krishna consciousness, is for human beings. And we have to first convert these animals into human beings by teaching them good qualities and then chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah. So, the process of Krishna consciousness, actually we have to bring animalistic people to human level. Okay, so human level, there are some codes and conducts like that. So preaching, when we do our go out and preaching, we do that also. We tell people to recommend no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. And then we also tell them to come to the mode of goodness so that they can understand Krishna consciousness properly. That has to be done. And that is the process of Krishna consciousness we do. So you said just 90%, but rather it actually should be 99%. So the process of Krishna consciousness is making slow change. Hare Krishna. So thank you all very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.